There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission. One message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm your announcer, Bob Bierman, sitting in for Rick Wiles. Rick is currently in Branson, Missouri to tape an upcoming appearance on The Jim Baker Show. He will be returning to our broadcast studio on Thursday. In the meantime, Rick has asked his friend Steven in Boquete, Panama, to host the program today with the theme, Leaving to Go with a Purpose. Has God called us merely to leave or to go with His purpose in mind? Stephen from Panama and Dr. Daniel Daves guest host True News with part two of a powerful two-part series as they interview two men who God has recently called to go through prophetic dreams and visions. And now, here is Stephen.
This is Stephen from Panama, and I'm here in the studio today with Dr. Daniel Daves. We're co-hosting again for True News, and in the studio with us, we have a continuation of our program from yesterday. We have John from Indiana and Hello. Eric from Montana.
Hello.
Good to have you back in the studio. And we're going to carry on this program from yesterday as a practical program. We want to take theory and we want to go into the lab room and we want to go into how do we take these steps if this is what God is calling us to do? How do we get to the practical nuts and bolts of actually going from point A to point B, leaving our nest, leaving our comfort zone, leaving our familiar territory, leaving our whatever that God has called us to leave to go. And the Lord told us in Mark chapter 16, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that wasn't a great suggestion. It was a great commandment. And I want Daniel, I want you to read a song, the words of a song by Keith Green that he wrote years ago, that is so applicable to our lives right now, I believe.
Amen. You know, we talked about the first part of this song on the last program, and so I'd like to just continue that for a moment. And Keith Green has a song called Jesus Commands Us to Go. And as I was reading through the lyrics, I was thinking of the time that we're in right now, where so many people in the church have just, we've gotten comfortable, and we've decided to stay en masse. The masses have decided to stay against His command to go. So here's the last part of the song. It says, Jesus commands us to go. It should be the exception if we stay. It's no wonder we're moving so slow when His church refuses to obey, feeling so-called to stay. Oh, how God comes as He starts the great judgment of fire, so He can gain His greatest desire, because He knows that the souls of the lost, they can only be reached through us. We are His hands and feet. Yes, Jesus commands us to go. It should be the exception if we stay. It's no wonder we're moving so slow when God's children refuse to obey, feeling so called to stay.
How better, no better way could it be said, that we've been called to go, not stay. And this is the difficult thing is for an eagle to actually leave the nest, because they're up at a high distance, way up high in the sky, in a big tree or on a cliff, and they have to take a leap. They have to leap from that nest and spread their wings and fly and trust that they're going to fly. And
That's right.
I think many people right now have become so comfortable in their nest that they will not fly. And actually, the mother bird, the mother eagle, will actually come and begin to remove those down feathers from the nest and begin to cut sticks and thorns and make that nest so uncomfortable that bird finally says, I'm getting out of here. Anything's better than here. And I believe that the Lord right now is doing that underneath many people's nest. Maybe they have a, whatever their nest may be, maybe a 401k, or maybe an IRA, a pension fund. And you know what? There's going to be some sticks that go in place of those down feathers, because God's calling us to the nations. He's calling us out to go and tell. And that sad thing is that many, or very few right now, are actually being obedient. I think the nest is going to have some down feathers stripped in order for these eagles to fly.
When they begin to pull, she begins to pull those feathers out, it causes that little chick to get up on the edge of the nest, and then she pushes him off, and he begins the long fall downwards, flapping his wings. The good news is, if he doesn't figure it out on that first drop, she catches him on her back and brings him back up and sets him on the nest to kick him out one more time.
But the whole purpose is to fly.
That's it, to learn how to fly, finally.
You know, that there's so many times we get so used to just opening our mouths and being fed, but you'll never feed yourself until you leave the nest. You know, mama's not there to feed you anymore. You have to go fend for yourself and begin to hunt your own food. And I really believe in many ways when we left the States, I had become too comforted in being fed and not looking for my own food. And when I came to Panama, I began to say, God, if you don't feed me, I'm going to die. And he said to me, good, now you're where I want you. Mm-hmm. Because now you're going to have to start fending for yourself. You're going to have to go into my word for yourself and dig in for my food. And he began to take me to the red letters of all the Gospels. And he said, you want to hear what my voice sounds like? Just start reading the red letters. It exactly sounds just like that. Mm-hmm. That if you want to know what God's voice sounds like and you're not real sure, go back to the red letters and just read those red letters out loud. That's what God's voice sounds like. Yeah. And it's not very comforting words. He said, he that tries to save his life will lose it, but right. He that loses life for my sake will save it. And you start realizing, well, this isn't the gospel I've been hearing in church. This sounds like a different gospel. And, you know, we all have to be very careful, because Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians, he talked about another Jesus, another gospel with another spirit. And we have to really discern, have I been really listening to the voice of the Lord, or to a comforting word that really isn't the voice of the Lord? It's another Jesus by another spirit and another gospel. And we have to go back to the Bible. We have to go back to the Word of God for ourselves and search for the truth. We have to hunger for it as if it was our last breath, and maybe our next breath, maybe our last breath. So this is where all of us are right now. And what I want to dedicate this program to is, okay, the Lord is calling you to leave your nest. What do I have to do? What are the steps that I have to do to make these steps to fly? How am I going to do this thing? Because it's a scary thing. And John, you mentioned a little while ago that it was very scary in many ways, because this is something that's not familiar. It's not something you've always done. But the Lord has made it very clear that your down feathers are being removed. And by these dreams, the numerous prophetic dreams that you've had, there is no comfort where you are, because you have to seek out, where's God? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Because I don't like this nest any longer. What has the Lord been speaking to you? How did he get you to that point? He said to me, when I was very comfortable in Montana, he said, your nest is in the wrong forest.
Yeah.
And that's all I needed to hear, because I saw myself up on the top of a tree looking down. And we in Montana, when you want to cut a tree down, they spray paint the bottom of it. They wrap it with a pink or fluorescent, you know, color, and you know that tree's coming down.
Marked for removal.
Yes, and I looked down at my tree that my nest was in, and it was marked for removal. And I said, you know what, I can either leave and find a new place to relocate, or I'm going to go down with the tree. And this is what disturbed me out of my comfort zone, and I began to seek the Lord, where do you want me to go? And then in that place of desperation, that's how he began to lead us and my family to where we are today.
Yeah, I think one of the things, and I had mentioned on yesterday's program, that God moved us from Nashville, Tennessee to Indiana to take care of elderly parents. And that was a big change for Debbie and I. We had been on the road for, I don't know, since 99 with a ministry, a nonprofit that we directed. And we were traveling 250 days a year, and we'd built this organization up to 15 full-time employees and a big budget and buses and buildings. And the Lord downsized all that on purpose in 2008. Several of our donors went away because of the economic crash. And then the next year, we saw why, because God needed us to be out of that place of all that big three-ring circus, which it really was a ministry, and God was using it in a mighty way. But he had to get us. We would have kept going, and I was building and going and dreaming, you know, and nothing was big enough for me. 2009, move us to a cornfield in Indiana to take care of elderly parents, and you want to be humbled, and I say this with all respect. I went from the White House. We were twice to the White House during the Bush administration, and to Governor Perry, to the Capitol in Texas, sitting with Governor Perry, to sitting in a cornfield in northern Indiana, changing my father, who abused me as an alcoholic as a child, and I'm changing my father's poopy diaper. And the Lord had to break me and get me out of my own control and my own, you know, I'm a self-starter and a dreamer and a visionary, and I've had several businesses during my lifetime. And the Lord kind of, you know, just woke me up one day and said, really, you've been here on earth for, what, 45 years? And I made the concept of time and was before and after the linear concept of time. Look under a microscope as far down as a human can make a microscope and see design. Look as far as a human telescope, a Hubble telescope, will look out into the universe and see design. And you're going to control your life, and you're going to think you know what's best for you. I am the author and finisher of your life, your faith, your being, your reason. You did not ask to be put here. I wouldn't have chosen the father I was given had I been given a choice. I wouldn't have chosen the state I was born in. I won't tell which one, so I don't make those people listening feel bad. If I had been given a choice, it was somewhere up in the north. But God decided, and I would say that to you listening, you know, I just had that epiphany one day, you know, being carried into captivity. If I could interject this, you mentioned a minute ago how misquoted, I think misrepresented Christ is in American Christianity as a whole. Dr. Daniel Daves, I think, and I were talking about this the other day. I have a favorite New Testament misquoted verse, which I won't get into, but my favorite, what I believe is a misquoted Old Testament verse that American church loves to prostitute, is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, not to harm you, but to prosper you and make for you a hope and a future, make you happy and comfortable and fat and
sassy.
And sassy, and we've got that on plaques on pastors' walls and bumper stickers and little Bible dividers, leather stamped. And I asked pastors and taught to pastors and leaders and teachers, do you know what the context of that verse is? Do you know what 9, 10, and 8, 9, and 10 say? And they, no, probably something about being happy. I said, no, the opposite. God says in 9 and 10, I'm pulling you Israelites out of your homeland. I'm carrying you into captivity to another country, to Egypt, where you don't want to go. And then he specifically says, do not listen to the prophets that tell you you're not going. They are lying to you in my name. And go ahead, listen to this, guys. When you get to this place, another country where you don't want to go, where I'm carrying you, go ahead and marry your sons and daughters, build houses, plant gardens, pray for the place I'm carrying you into captivity. If it prospers, you will prosper. And when 70 years of your captivity has been accomplished, my plan of whatever I'm doing and carrying you to this other place has been accomplished, 70 years from now, I'll return you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, not to harm you, but to prosper you and make for you a hope in the future. 70 years from now, after you've been ripped from your homeland, ripped from your houses, taken to another country, people, you've believed an American lie, a misrepresentation of the gospel. You've listened to preachers that are more concerned about their own comfort than the will of God. Get the word of God out and read what it says. Put it into context. Shut Babylon off. Be still and listen to the Spirit of God speaking to you the truth. And suffering is a good thing. I went through hell up there in Indiana, in a sense, to my flesh. I won't even use the word hell. I went through pain and refining. I'm sitting here right now enjoying a good cup of coffee here in Panama. What does good coffee come from? A roasted, crushed bean. What does anointing oil come from? A harvested, crushed olive. What does wine come from? A harvested, crushed grape. Mm-hmm. You people are still wanting to stay in your little happy grape state, or your little happy on the bush state, or your little What does a diamond come from? What does a pearl come from? Allow the maker of the universe that thought you up. You didn't ask to be put here. You didn't make yourself up. God, the maker of the universe, put you here for such a time as this. Let go and let him have his way with your life. Let him crush you and watch what beauty comes out of it. Isaiah 61:3, he gives beauty for ashes. God burned me down and put me in captivity at first in the northern Indiana in a cornfield and put me in an uncomfortable place to refine me and give me maturity and purpose. And from there, I could begin to hear his voice, get over myself, my self-serving self-will, and get into position to do what my creator put me here to do.
Wow.
Amen.
That's all I can say is wow.
Yeah.
Eric, you know, God has probably done a major refining in your life as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we came to our point of epiphany and God started saying to me, and God started saying to my wife as well, now what? In other words, it was a challenge from God. Now what? You've done everything in the natural that you thought that you need to do to protect yourself, to prepare for what is coming. And yes, there are things coming. America is quickly morphing. And I like what Rick Wiles says, for those of you who listen to True News on a regular basis, America is quickly morphing into Babylon. You can see the morphing process happening. And our eyes were open, and God showed us this. And we went into the scriptures, and we came to a revelation that unless there was a major reawakening, a major repentance, America was going to go through some harsh, harsh times. And this show has definitely done a lot to point that out. I'm not going to go into that now. So the first thing that God had me do was he had me humble myself. And I came before the Lord like I'd never had done in my life before, in humility, saying, God, what is it that you have of my life? See, I had tied my life up with all of the expectations of the American dream. I had protected my American dream by going up onto the mountain with all my stuff. And God was saying to me, and God is saying to a lot of people out there, I have something more for you. And so that was the beginning process of where I came and I humbled myself before God. And God will take you through that humility process and start showing you things in your life that you need to repent of, things that you need to get rid of, and things you need to untie yourself from in the world. And that's what I had. I had myself tied up into the things of the world. I had myself tied into contracts. I had myself tied into items and goods that I did not need. I had myself tied into where the items of life were not the tools I needed. I was serving all the things of life, but I wasn't serving God the way God had called me to do. So all the things that I had were hindering me from stepping out and being obedient to what God had put upon my life. And there are a lot of people, you've had a call on your life, but you've not stepped out because of the hindrances of mortgages, because of the hindrances of obligations, because of the hindrances that you think you have to have that American dream, that brand new car. And so instead of going God's route, you go to the bank, and the bank is your provider. And so that was happened is many people have taken in the Babylonian system instead of going God's route. And so God had to divest me from Babylon. What are some of the practical things that he started telling me? He said to me, first thing is divest yourself of all the things that are holding you back. And one of the things that he showed me, and I was praying, saying, God, how do I get from here, Montana, to Panama? Because that's where God had been directing our hearts through a lot of different things. And we probably don't have time in the show to go through it. And God said to me, he said, remember the parable of my servant who saw that his Lord was coming, and that servant was to give account to the master when he came back for all that he had done. And he looked at himself and said, I have nothing to give my master. I tied myself into contracts with all these other people who owe the master money, and I am supposed to be tending to my master's whatever it was, his vineyard, his business, whatever, and I will give account of how I tended to this. And so what he did is he took a loss. He went out, instead of $1,000 that was owed, he got a contract paid on $350, and he went to each one of them, and he had something to give to the master. There's a lot of people out there, they have nothing to give the master in their life, and God is saying to you, what are the practical things you can do? And so what we did is we started looking at the items, and God, I prayed over all our items that we had done, that we had had, and things that we had done in life
that had not been by the leading of the Spirit, and I asked God to redeem it. And I said, God, redeem those items. Redeem the bad decisions that we made. Redeem the bad contracts. Redeem where we got ourselves too much in debt, where we have credit card debt, where we have items that are doing no good. And God started giving us some very practical, down-to-earth things in the realm of almost the miraculous. And we took an account of what we had, and we did not think that we really had that much. And so God started giving us supernatural wisdom on put this on Craigslist, ask for this, put this on eBay, ask for that, sell this item, ask for this. And God started bringing to us, we had all kinds of old junk cars and stuff on the property that needed to be cleaned up. And I had a business that had all kinds of stuff, and we're still in the process. We're almost done with everything. And God started giving us practical wisdom on going on Craigslist, eBay, selling things. And so what we did is we took all of the possessions that we had, and God worked a miracle to bring a lot more into our lives than what we had thought. We had, as everyone knows, we had the place that was off the grid. We had not even put into a well. We were told by our realtor, you shouldn't even try to sell this thing, because you got to put a well, and you can't sell a place without a well. Me and my wife prayed about it and said, no, we're going to put it on the market. My wife said, honey, don't even clean it up. Put it on the market now. I said, honey, that's completely impractical. No, I feel in my spirit we have to put it on the market. And you husbands, you need to listen to your wife if she's got something from God. God put you together as a team for a purpose.
Right.
And I made some mistakes in the first part of our marriage. I heard that note in my wife's spirit. I heard what she was saying from her spirit. This is wisdom from the Lord to you, honey. And so we went ahead and we put it on the market. I cleaned like crazy, got it into order. And that's another thing. Ask God to show you how to put your life in order. Each person has a different aspect of wisdom that the Lord will give you. So 2 weeks after we put the house on the market, the Lord worked a miracle. We had a full price offer on our house from California. And even our realtor was amazed. And they came up, loved the place. And we were able to accomplish everything that we were able to accomplish. And God helped us sell our house, divest ourselves of a lot of items. And that became the seed money that came into our hands, into our lives, to be obedient to the Lord. And now me and my wife recognize, because of God's mercy and his kindness and his graciousness to 1,000 generations, for those who humble themselves and love him, he will provide a way for you in a very practical way that will enable you to be forgiven of the places where you have walked the wrong path in life and come back to the path that God has ordained for your life and to be fruitful for his kingdom. And that's what God is saying here. It's just not that you're trying to escape something. God says, I want you to bear fruit for my kingdom, and I want you to give you wisdom so you can do that. So this money is God's. This transition is all of God's doing. And so God, we know that God has something very, very interesting in the next steps of our life here. And God is really bringing together an awesome team here in Panama. And I want to encourage everyone who's been indecisive and you feel that God has called you, step out now. Start taking those steps of obedience, because as you do that, God will bring the steps of wisdom that apply with the practical side of things. Mm-hmm. And so it all ties together. It ties to renewing your relationship with God. It ties into humbling yourself. It ties into shutting off Babylon. It ties into seeking the Lord. It ties into coming in agreement with your wife. It ties into seeking God for the practical steps and then connecting with people who also have wisdom and knowledge to give you the practical steps you need too.
That's right. You know, this all starts with just humility. You have to humble yourself to say, I don't have the answers. You know, I don't know really what to do. Help me. And that's the first place of help, is crying out in desperation for that place.
And can I interject? We've been talking about being a tool in God's hands, and in America, we want to decide for us. I think you said on yesterday's program, Daniel, about going into a workshop or something, or a kitchen, and the appliances not being plugged into the power. That was you saying. The Lord had shown me some time back, Isaiah 10, verse 15, God mentions to Israel, compares them to four things, an axe, a club, a sword, and a staff. And he says here in this passage, does a staff wield the shepherd? Does a club wield the clubsman? He goes, you're not wielding me. I'm wielding you. I made you a tool for my purpose. It goes back to what we were saying a minute ago. The God of the universe that made you and I and put us here surely knows why he made us. I don't even usually know why he put me here, you know. He does. You're not wielding your creator. Your creator is wielding you. And then he further challenged me, and I'm not saying don't say help me, but I wrote here in this, I've got my Bible open to this passage, and the Lord had spoken to me today, showed me this. He said, son, stop praying, help me God, and start praying, use me God, and then I'll help you. You know, my own children, if they come, daddy, please help me, can I have this, can I have that, if they come to me and go, daddy, can I clean my bedroom, or I clean my bedroom, or something, I'm like, what? Would you like some candy? You know, then I want to help them, because they did, you know, so I've been having to practice it, you know, instead of, because we always come with our list, God, I need it in, and I need to pay it, and I'm just coming and just going, God, use me. You made me, you thought me up, use me. And then he will help me. And it is really his responsibility. If he thought me up and put me here and made me one of these tools, he knows what he wants to do with that tool.
He's just waiting on us to say, use me, you know, because really, if we don't go to him wanting to be used, then we're really useless. You know, and we all don't want to be useless. We want to be used. And God created us. He put us here for a purpose. And now it's time. It's more than time to find out why.
Amen. Something very important for all believers who are on this journey, and they're preparing for a journey that is going to be different than anything they ever thought, dreamed, or had nightmares about in the past. And that is the first step. If you're looking at fundamentals or practical steps, the first thing that I would recommend, and I do this all the time, and that is that you and I, we must get into the Word of God every day.
Amen.
Got to read this Bible. We just heard some incredible wisdom coming right out of the heart of men who have been, they have been exercised by the Word of God. They have been conditioned and beaten, and you know, the rough edges beaten off. They've been affected by the Word. You can't do that with it up there on the counter, and you can't do that. You can't just listen to other people who've been in the Word, and that's not going to change you. So I want to highly recommend to you today, if you have not been in the Bible, I have a Bible program that I'll send to you free of charge. Just info@drdanieldays.com or find me on Facebook. And I will send it to you. It's a digital PDF file that will help you walk through the Bible with us. We have thousands of people around the world right now that are reading the Word of God every day. They read two Old Testament chapters, two New Testament chapters, a psalm, or five psalms and a proverb every day. In doing that, you can read the whole Bible through in a year. You read the New Testament through twice, and Psalms and Proverbs, you read them 12 times in a year, once per month, because those are the books of Kings. And if you get the thinking of kings into you, you'll start making decisions like a king would. And that's what God wants us to do. So I highly recommend get on the same page with many believers and start reading the Word of God every day, first thing, because your steps today they need to be led by the Lord. And the scripture says, thy word, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But if your word is on the shelf, I'm walking in darkness today. It doesn't matter how much light people throw at me through programming or through, you know, through news stories. Unless I'm in that word, God can't talk to me. This is his primary way he talks to us. From there, if we have the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds, and we arm ourselves, then the Holy Spirit can verify it prophetically, profoundly. He can speak through many different things to bounce off of the Word that's in our hearts. This is number one fundamental. If you're going to do anything, you got to get in the Word and break through. I know we're busy, but we're not too busy for the Word, or we're darklings. Just walking in the dark, claiming to be in the light, but the light is the Word. So that's number one that I would recommend today.
Well, all of us have practical measures that we've taken in our own life. And this is a common theme, I think, amongst everybody, is that you got to get into the Word of God for yourself. You have to see the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he said, he'll lead and guide us in all truth. So if you'll open up the Bible, even though you might not understand, if you'll ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate as the Spirit of truth, as you read the Bible, as you read the Word of God, speak to me, and in a place of humility, willing to learn.
And I think if you're just, you know, when the Lord actually took us here, he had us erase the chalkboard. Sometimes we got a bunch of stuff that we've written on our chalkboard, doctrines and everything else. Just start with an eraser, and just go and erase your board and say, Lord, I want to hear directly from you. I've listened to pastors and preachers, and I've listened to people, and I need to hear from you now. And just go into the Word of God. And I just recommend go into the Gospel. Go into the four Gospels, the Gospel of John, and just read it and pretend you're sitting at Jesus' feet.
There you go.
You know, because
and a way to refine that and kick it up a notch for me, and this is biblical, and you don't hear this much in American comfortable church, is add some fasting to your Bible study.
Yes.
The Lord has called my wife and I to a lifestyle of fasting, and I won't get into numbers of days, but, you know, and if you say, I can't live without food, yeah, you can. I've been on 3 40-day fasts without food, and I lived. I'm here talking to you right now. I lost 39 pounds, the first one, and I lived, and I saw more miracles in that time and saw heaven and hell move in that time because I set myself apart. But, you know, and a lot of people aren't going to do a 40-day fast. Do a 3-day sugar fast or a Daniel fast, or I'm going to fast television, or I'm going to fast Facebook. Set yourself apart and send a message to hell and to heaven.
Amen.
That I'm setting my heart before God to hear from God and find my purpose. And you watch things even speed up quicker and move heaven and hell quicker. I'm telling you, I've lived it. I know. And the Word doesn't say if you fast. It says when you fast. You know, comb your hair and dress up and don't go around making a big public spectacle of yourself.
Pastor friend of mine said from India last week, he was here in our studio, and he said, if you don't fast at least 24 hours, you weren't fasting. You just missed a meal.
One thing that I have to add
millions
to all this.
Of people are missing a meal right now without their choice.
Yeah, without even making that choice. Yeah. One thing that I have to add to all this, one thing that has really worked for me in my own personal life is walking the floor and praying the Word and letting the meditation upon the Word and praying that Word get inside of me. And it opens up your heart to receive and to hear from the Holy Spirit to what God is saying for your life too. So that's one other thing that I would add on top of fasting.
Put worship music on, turn secular music off, turn the television off, fill your home with worship music. The devil can't stand it. Demons will leave your house. Keep worship on. I listen to worship all day long and keep it playing in our house. When I'm getting ready in the morning, I've got my phone with worship music playing. It can be instrumental worship music. There's all kinds of great. There's that rooster again. So that's another thing that I can say that's helped me and cleared the spiritual airwaves for me. It just huge change. I mean, from turning on some secular garbage rock and roll or country garbage as opposed to turning on worship that the devils leave and the angels come.
Yes. You know, another thing too, you know, when we got our marching orders, see, this was kind of a exploratory trip when we first came in May 3 years ago. And when we got here, we knew we were supposed to come. So we had to focus, and we had to stay focused. And one of the things that we did was we got together as a family, and we prayed 5 minutes a day. No matter, you know, what's going on, we had to stop before we got moving and say we just have to pray. Because part of the thing is I have a lot of children, and we need to, like a big giant ocean liner, we need to gather together as a unit, in unity, because the biggest thing that Satan wants to do is divide families, because if he can divide families, then he can divide purpose and plan for
That's
a family.
Right.
So you have to guard yourself against the wiles of the devil, because they're going to come to strategize against you to keep you from doing God's will. And if you'll go back to a couple of scriptures, I encourage you to go, is Matthew chapter 14, verse 24, and Mark chapter 6, verse 48. And it talks about contrary winds. Well, Jesus told his disciples, I'll meet you on the other side of the lake. And he went up to a mountain to pray. Well, when they left to go to the other side of the lake, a storm rose up on their way. And it said the winds were contrary. Mm-hmm. But they heard from God, I'll meet you on the other side. They heard from the Lord. He said, I'll meet you on the other side. So what did they do? They didn't turn and catch their sail and catch the wind to go back to shore and say, right, let's ride this thing out in the morning. They started rowing. They kept rowing through the night. And in the fourth watch, Jesus came walking on the water and
Amen.
Met them in that place of desperation.
Amen.
And I believe that this is the word from the Lord right now, is
yes.
that we need to understand, we have to hear clearly, first of all, what is the Lord saying for us to do?
And no matter what winds blow our way, whatever contrary winds blow our way, we have to keep our eyes focused straight ahead in the direction God's called us to go. Because in the midst of that storm, Jesus will come walking on the water and meet us. But that is a time of testing for all of us, whether we really heard God. Because what's going to come to you is you hear God's voice saying, go, you're going to hear, hath God said. You're going to be tempted to listen to a comforting word that doesn't feel very comfortable, that you want maybe to turn, go back to shore, go back the other direction, where you're wanting to hear a comfort word. And God's word isn't always very comforting, but it's the truth. And if you're saying go, it means to keep your face straight ahead and keep marching no matter what winds are blowing your way.
And you will be given the strength to continue rowing until the miracle happens.
That's right.
And that's what God wants us to do, is to keep rowing, to keep pressing, to keep pushing in faith and prayer and in unity in the family till we achieve what God is calling us to do.
And then remind yourself again what he said when the disciples woke him. I'm the Lord of the storm, boys. I got this. I made the winds. And it goes back to us thinking we're, you know, rehearse how big God is that we can even understand with our little created minds of how much we can understand how big he is and Alpha and Omega and high and, you know, he's
amen. Well, when the storms arise, we realize how little we are really in control, you know, but we don't realize how little we are really in control until the storm brews. And then that's when our test of faith comes, because then we're going to have to trust him in the midst of the storm.
Yeah. That's right. Another storm story. When Jesus said, let us go to the other side, he went into the boat and fell asleep. And the storm came, and the water's licking over the boat, you know, filling it up. They can't bail fast enough. And finally they said, wake Jesus up, you know, and help, Lord, don't you care if we perish? He rose up and rebuked them for their lack of faith. And then he spoke to the wind and waves, peace be still. And then they said, oh, who is this man? You know, what I learned from that is Jesus, he didn't say, let's go to the middle of the lake and die. He said, let us go to the other side, period. And with that word, he could go to sleep because he's going to the other side. He's going. There's no other way. He spoke his word forward, and no wind, no wave, no. If they had to sink and walk there on the bottom of the ocean, they were going to the other side.
Amen.
That's the end of the matter. And their lack of faith because of all that opposition that hindered them, they thought they were going to die. And sometimes when the Lord says, I want you to go to the other side, I want you to go here, go there, it looks like a mountain, an uncrossable mountain. It looks like it's not possible. There's no way. But if he spoke it to you, you can risk and bet your life on this thing. You're going to the other side. Well,
I want to talk a little bit more about practicalities, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Because I guarantee you, if God called you to go somewhere, the enemy doesn't want you to go there. And those are the contrary winds. I can't tell you how many times myself, my children, we're in the hospital, emergency visits, car wrecks. The first 6 to 8 weeks that we were here, it was like everything just broke loose. It's like, are you kidding me? This never happened when we were in the nest. What is going on? But I just started realizing, you know, this is just the enemy to try to blow me off course and keep me from going where God wanted us to go. And this is where you have to go back to, what did God say? You know, what did Jesus say? What did he tell you he wanted you to do?
That's right.
And that's all you have to focus on through all the storms, is he said, I'll meet you on the other side. I will see you there. And this is where, you know, I tell people, look, manna doesn't fall on the Egypt side of the Red Sea. It never fell until they crossed the Red Sea.
That's a good word.
And once they crossed the Red Sea, then the provision was there. But see, everybody's saying, well, Lord, show me and I'll go. And that's not the way it works. It's going to be like Abraham. You go and I'll show you. I'll show you after you leave. But you have to be willing to leave. And then God reveals his provision, reveal things. But you have to trust that you've heard from the Lord. Wherever he's calling you to go, if he's calling you to go, you have to know he's going to meet you on the other side.
Wow. Wow. Amen.
There's so many stories in the Word, too, that make no sense to our intellect where God provided. You know, we need to pay our taxes, Jesus. Okay, go catch a fish in the coin. I mean, just goofy stuff. Strike the sea with your rod, or we're going to make water come out of the rock, or, Jesus, my brother, if you'd have come 4 days ago, he'd have lived. But roll the stone away. No, no, Lord, he's starting to stink already. What? Remember, I made him. I made the stone. I made the earth. You know, you can expect it to be impractical. And shut your physical eyes and shut your mouth and shut your physical ears and begin to walk in the spirit, even if it's a baby step, one little step, and watch God do something wild that'll blow your mind.
And yeah, there are some people listening to us that God is using you as kind of a pioneer. God's using you to show others how to take those steps of faith and step out. And God wants you to step out, and those miracles are going to start happening in your life as an example to others of what God will do for them. And so God is just asking you start taking those steps, and then the practical side will start coming into focus for you.
The Lord said to me when I got here, he said, your obedience will pave the way for many.
Yeah.
And it's not just me, it's everybody. It's our obedience to do what God says that paves the way. It's like a machete going through a jungle, paving the way through unbelief. That if the Lord can do this for one man, he can do it for another. And you're just making your way through the jungle now with your obedience.
Amen.
One of the practical things I want to say real quick, too, for you people listening, one of the first things you're going to need to do if you haven't done this already is get your passport. And I've been telling people I love and care about that don't know or don't know if they can do all this, please just go get your passport. It costs $110 to get a passport, $10, $11 for your picture at CVS. If you go to the clerk of court, it's $25 fee, but less than $150 you can get your passport. If we're wrong, hey, take your wife or husband on a vacation to Italy next year or go on a missions trip to Haiti. If we're right, you'll be thankful you got your passport. But that's one of the absolute takes. For those of you who don't know, many of you listening already have your passports. It takes 4 to 6 weeks. You can go to your local post office. You can go to the clerk of court at your courthouse. They'll give you an application to fill out. Go to Walgreens or CVS and get a picture made for $11. Put in the fee. If you go to the clerk of court at the courthouse, she'll help you make sure the paperwork's right. Turn it in 4 to 6 weeks later. There's your passport, and you can travel.
And expedite it a little extra, and you can get it in 7 to 10 days many times. Yeah. Yeah.
So these are practical things that all of us need to realize that they're how do we walk this thing out if God's saying go? And these are some of the simple things, but the most thing is just be obedient to whatever God's prompting you to do. This is the most important thing all of us have to do right now is what is God saying? Can you even hear his voice? You know, and I want to just share this with you too, is that, you know, when I said, God, I want to know your voice, this is the first thing I asked God when I first gave my heart to him. God, I don't want to be deceived. I want to think I'm listening to you, but it turns out to be the devil in disguise leading me off the cliff. And I said, how do I really know it's you? And I just hear these words, eliminate the devil.
Right.
I'm thinking of, what does that mean? You know, eliminate the devil. I don't think like this. And next thought hit my mind was eliminate every error in your life you've been deceived.
Yes.
And it's like two hands came out in front of me. And one hand says, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. I'm a spirit of truth. He said, on the other hand, Satan's the father of lies. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Eliminate one. What do you have left? And so I said, well, gosh, this just seems so simple. I just began to apply this. So I began to look in my life and see where deception has been coming in. I thought about drinking and stuff I used to do as an unbeliever. I thought, well, I've never had a wreck when I haven't been drinking. I get around the wrong people, say the wrong things. I said, that's a good place to start. And so I just began to go in. He didn't say, turn it down, do in moderation. He said, eliminate. So as I began to eliminate what I knew was not God's voice in my life, God's voice began to get more clear. And I was driving my car maybe just about 3 or 4 weeks later, just after I gave my heart to him. And I'm driving and I'm looking on the freeway. I lived in Dallas, Texas, getting on a busy 5:30 freeway, and I look over my shoulder, and as I'm starting to turn my head to go straight, I hear these words, if you'll live in me, I'll live in you. And I'm sitting there going, where in the world a thought like that came from? And I began to read the Gospel of John, and I started to realize this was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. If I'll dwell in him, he'll dwell in me. And he wants to make his abode with us. So my practical advice right now is if there's things in your life right now that you know are not God speaking to you or places in your life where deception is coming in, turn them off. Don't turn them down. Do in moderation. Turn off everything that you know is not God's voice. And you'll hear God's voice begin more clear and more distinct. Another thing, too, is we got here to Panama, our first exploratory trip. We got our mission to go back. It's like I had my marching orders. I didn't have to listen to Fox News. I didn't have to listen to anything. I said, I got my marching orders. I'm focused. In fact, we got so focused that my wife and my kids, every day from the day that we knew we're supposed to leave, our departure date, we wrote 22 days until we leave, 21 days the next day. We began to erase that. And one day, my wife, I think one of the kids actually erased the ones digit, and it turned out to be a two. And they thought, well, that's strange. We got more than two. And the Lord spoke to my wife and said, it'll feel like two. So in other words, it's, you need to understand that time goes very fast when you have something that you have to do, that you have to stay focused. And if you have to write on your mirror and say, how many days until we leave, stay focused. I've seen people that leave here with the intent to come back and they don't stay focused. I've never seen it's been 2 years and they had plans to come back in just a few months. So it's really important that you got to stay focused on what did God say.
Amen. 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 I got a couple of things here. I'm burning up here. All right. I'm a real fundamental guy. If the Lord gives me a word, I have to figure out how to do this thing, you know, so I'm always rolling around how do we make happen what the Lord is saying for me to do? I think, of course, I've already said, get in the Word of God every day. That's where you're going to get your light, your inspiration, and some prophetic insight on what to do next. He will direct those steps, period. But next, I really recommend for every believer to get off the system. Now, the system could mean something different for you than it does for me, but I can point out a few things. If you're on food stamps, if you're on the government dole, over 51% of America is on government help and subsidies right now. You can either get off in nobility or you can get off by force, because that is going to go away eventually. But if we will learn to trust God for our sustenance, for our food, our daily bread, Lord, you give me this day my daily bread, not the government. And if I could tell you anything, get off of mama and start getting on father. Start letting dad teach you. You see, we learn from mama while we're babies, and we're taken care of while we're small children. But there comes a day that dad takes you, and he trains you to be a king, to be a provider, to be one that's not taking, but's providing extra for others. So this is your day to get off of the dole, off of the system, and come away with God, with your father, and learn how to let him take care of you. That may mean you need to cut your credit cards up. If you can't use that thing constructively and pay it off every month so that no interest goes out of your pocket into the bank, but only airline miles are racked up for you so they can pay for your airline tickets, that if you can't do that, cut the card up. Get out of debt. Sell your home. If you're in debt right now, sell the home and go rent a home as an act of obedience and faith, that you would not be bound by any man, that if God would say, I want you to get on an airplane and fly to Europe, you have freedom to do that. I'm telling you, when I was a young minister, I had a huge trailer full of music equipment. And I had to do so many Christian concerts per month just to pay for that music equipment. And the Lord told me once, he said, I want you to take 30 days, stop playing, stop evangelizing, and I want you to fast and pray. And you know what my answer was? I can't. Wow. I have to keep ministering in order to pay the loan on that equipment inside that trailer. And what a paradox, you know? I can't obey you because I got to keep ministering for you to pay for the bank loan. And I didn't even realize a banker had joined himself to me like a sucker fish.
Yep.
And he was a partner in the ministry. Get out of debt. Get your church out of debt, your church building. Get your home out of debt. Sell the extra car. Drive a clunker if you have to. This is not a day of pride and saying, oh, look what I'm driving. This is a day of getting out of debt and getting into a position where God can move you.
Amen. That's right. You know, and this is a very important step right now. The Lord actually opened the door for ministry initially. I had show cars, I had restored cars, and I began to travel on my own expense with Charles and Francis Hunter, and I would go and I just take pictures because my hobby is photography. Well, the Lord spoke to me, said, "Get out of debt." It was like a broken record going off in my head. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. Get out of debt. Mm-hmm. And all I could do is get out of debt. And all I could think of to get out of debt was sell my gods, you know, my show cars and stuff that I had restored. And I began to sell all these cars because I had a paint and body shop at the time. And And one night after I got out of debt, I got a call from Frances Hunter, and she said, we're getting ready to travel overseas, and the normal photographer that normally travels with us can't leave work a week or two at a time. If we cover your expenses, could you do our photography work? And guess what? I was already in position to be the next, you know, in line for that blessing to be able to travel. I got to travel for 8 years all over the world.
Wow.
Because of that act of obedience, of showing that the Lord, that this stuff doesn't mean anything more to me. You and your purpose in being obedient to you means more than all my show cars. And I think many people out there right now have things in their hand right now that, that God could use to get them out of debt right now. And you watch and you see the doors that will open up if you'll be obedient and do what God says to do. If you'll sell those things that maybe meant everything in the world to you,
right.
Maybe you have old stuff. I mean, when we came here, he said you were going to reduce your life to suitcases. Well, guess what? Not a lot fits in your suitcases. And I mean, everybody, all children, everybody had to go through the stripping process. But you know, the stripping process is a position that you can be transplanted. And it reminds me, I'll quickly share the story, but I had a friend of mine that was a landscaper. And I went to his house one day, and he had a huge magnolia in his tree that was no longer there. And I thought it died. I went to his backyard because we're barbecuing, and went in the backyard. There's a big giant magnolia tree in his backyard. And I said, what's going on here? This looks almost like the same tree that was in your front yard. Oh, it is. You know, I said, I just got tired of looking in the front yard. I wanted to bring it to the backyard. I said, come on, you're joking me. I said, this is a huge tree. How'd you do this? He said, wasn't that hard. I just dug a root ball around it. And then I laid it over on its side. He made this motion I'll never forget. He made this motion as if were she's stripping off the leaves off the tree. Mm-hmm. And he said, I stripped all the leaves off the tree, and then I dug a hole in the backyard and put it upright and watered it, and there it is. And I said, wait a minute, stop right there. I said, you stripped all the leaves off the tree. And I said, didn't that kill the tree? He said, no, that's what saved the tree.
Yes.
And when he said that, something just sparked inside of me that's the stripping portion. In order for us to be transplanted, otherwise our heart is still on our leaves. It's still on our stuff. It still is trying to save our stuff instead of letting the nourishment go down to our roots to rebuild us and restore us. And the pruning always comes before a fruitful season.
Right.
And this is what God's trying to do right now in all of our lives. He's trying to prune us because we've had our affections in places they shouldn't be. And so now's the time that we just have to say, Lord, prune me for your purpose, for your harvest. I want to bear fruit. Because I can look back at my life right now, I don't have a lot of fruit to show. I think you've got too many leaves, too much stuff hanging off your trees right now. It'd have been sucker branches, sucking the life out of you.
Right.
And I don't think we want God to leave us to what we think we want. And I think he will sometimes, and you might still be saved and get to heaven. Think of Joseph, and we've used Joseph in the for preparing in 7 years. Think of Joseph wanting to get out of jail. And he interpreted the cupbearer and the baker's dream, and he says the baker's going to hang, but the cupbearer is going to live. And he says, when it goes, as I told you, remember me, because I've done nothing. Speak kindly to Pharaoh. I've done nothing to deserve being in here. They go back. The next verses say the baker was hung. The cupbearer was restored. The next verse says the cupbearer forgot Joseph. The next verse says 2 full years passed, and Pharaoh had a dream. Now, I'm going somewhere quickly with this. While Joseph's there, when he interpreted the dreams, he's thinking, God, use me in my gifting. Thank you. I'm not, you're still, your spirit hasn't left me. I'm getting out of here. And can you, the next time you hear somebody coming down the hall, I think they're coming to open me. This is the man bringing his food in a day, pass a week, month, year, whatever. But do you think that he's sitting there imagining when he's going to get out now? What's he going to go do? Oh, I'd love to go see my dad and my younger brother, but I'm scared of my older brothers, or maybe I'll hire somebody to kill them, or maybe I'll go down to the beach to my uncle's place and hang out until I figure out what to do. You know, these are the kind of things probably going through this. Do you think for a second he thought, I'm going to become the vice president of Egypt and save Israel? No, sir. I guarantee it, because it's not recorded that he thought that God told him, but it had to be God's way through brokenness. He tried to get himself out and comfort himself for a much smaller thought of what I could ever do. God took him through 2 more years of undeserved prison to make him the vice president of Egypt. Get out of God's way, brother and sister.
It's the plan of God that we want to be fulfilled in our life. And I believe that the greater the crushing, the greater the stripping, the greater the purpose and the greater the plan.
Yes.
And it's just, you have to be willing to say, Lord, it doesn't matter. You know what? You're going to lose it all anyway. Might as well give it up first, then have it peeled out of your fingers.
Yeah.
I would rather give it than have it peeled out of my
and
hands.
God wants to bring the true gold and what he's planted inside of us through his kingdom. We cannot see what God has put into our life if we're hanging on to everything that God is saying to let go of. And so if we let go of that and we sell it, get rid of it, give it to God, and we give ourselves to the kingdom, there's a true talent, there's a true ability, there's a true gifting and calling that's in the inside of us that God will pull out and he'll start using us for his purposes. So
that's right. It's the way it is, the way God works. You know, his principles are forever, and we have not actually been operating by his principles. We've been operating as a church, by the world's principles. You know, I always say, you know what, in God's kingdom, the up elevator is the down button. You know, it's humility, it's brokenness, it's being more of a servant. That's the up elevator in God's kingdom. It's the down button, but nobody wants to push the down button.
Amen. You know, one other thing that goes right along with this fundamentally that people can do to prepare, and that is to consider what's in your hand. That's what God asked Moses.
Yes.
We talked about that in the last program. What's in your hand, Moses? He said, I got a crisis here. Pharaoh's bearing down on us. We got an ocean in front of us. And God answers with a question, what's in your hand? And I believe God will always answer us when we say, what do I do? What could I do out there? My friend, this world is bigger than you have been told about in your American comfort. We used to think, matter of fact, I heard this in the past, brother, why don't you quit your job and join the ministry? Oh, really? Yeah. You join the ministry, go to college, Bible college, do this. Eventually, you're going to be a pastor, and then you'll be a valid minister. That is not an apostolic Ephesians 4:11-17 New Testament thinking at all. That's a pope, priest, pastor, president mentality, and that thing's gone. That's Old Testament.
Right.
And the fact is, if you're in business, you're in ministry, and especially if you have a servant heart. Yeah. Our community needs served, whether it's mowing a lawn or putting a roof on or running the alarm system for the guy. Whatever it is that you do out in the business community as a job or an entrepreneur, this is ministry. It really is. And without that, the world stops. I used to think as an old wineskin pastor that if we could just get everyone to come to church every night, we'd have revival 7 nights a week, and everyone just come to church, we'd just fill the stadiums, and the world would change. Yeah, the world would come to a grinding halt, and everyone would go hungry in 30 days because of my idea of what true salvation and revival would be. I believe the next great move of God is people waking up and realizing, I am a servant, and I can serve mowing lawns and building roads and serving, whether it's real estate business, whatever it is, I can serve my community, love them, and offer some spice and some light and some salt while they're working with me and help bring them to Jesus and bring the kingdom of God to them.
Well, you know, the plug-in that I saw, the appliances that were on the countertops that weren't being plugged in, the plug-in is serving. The plug-in is a serving.
That's right.
I know we have just a few moments left on this program, and what I felt like on my heart was I'd maybe take 30 seconds, and I want, Eric, if you just pray over the audience.
Yeah, I would be happy to do that.
The Lord's leading on each one.
Yeah, so Lord, we just pray for every single person listening today, Father, that your hand will be upon them to deliver them, Father, and to help them and to give them wisdom on the decision process and the things that they practically have to do, Lord. And we thank you for your anointing and your help, Lord, in each family member that's involved, Lord God, and that, God, you will enable them to do exactly in your timing what you've called them to do, in Jesus' name.
That's right. Thank you, everybody, for this roundtable discussion, and we really hope you were blessed by the program. God bless you.
We want to thank you for joining us for this special edition of True News. Please continue to pray for host Rick Wiles, who is in Branson, Missouri, to tape an upcoming appearance on The Jim Baker Show. Rick will be returning to the True News microphone tomorrow. Don't forget to find out the latest news headlines, archive broadcast, and how you can help support this broadcast ministry by visiting the True News website at www.truenews.com. That's TRUNEWS.com. I'm your announcer, Bob Bierman, sitting in for Rick Wiles. God bless and thank you for listening today to True News.